Blog Talk Radio.
Great night at Spiritual Connections Radio. I just wanted to give you a couple reminders about some shows that are coming up this month. As you know, our co-host Pamela has her show every Monday at 8 o'clock, so make sure to tune into this channel and listen to her weekly segment. She's got her incredible show that's been running every week now, so make sure to catch that. Also, as you know, we have Brigida and Mike who are doing a show once a month on Wednesdays at 8 o'clock, and they have been channeling Ascended Masters and doing some music that's channeled, and their next show will actually be coming up next Wednesday, which is March 13th, and that's at Wednesday at 8 o'clock. Their show actually runs for an hour and a half, and their show, along with Pamela's, is actually the only shows at this time that actually take call-ins. We on the Thursday night show do not take call-ins, so we apologize for not taking your questions. And with that, I'd like to introduce my co-host, Pamela, who's going to introduce our guest that we have on for this evening. Hey, Pam, are you there?
Hi, Mark. I am. Welcome, everyone, to Spiritual Connections. And thank you for that nice introduction of my show. That was really nice. The name of the show is called Secrets of the Soul. Anyway, let's talk about tonight's guest, which is very exciting. Tonight we have a very talented healer by the name of Jean Couch. Jean is, she'll have to explain to you what type of healing she does. I know she teaches at Stanford University and Silicon Valley Corporations. She educates doctors, osteopaths, massage therapists, and many other professionals who want to know how they can relieve the pain of their backs and the aches in their joints. So let's not waste any more time. Jean, are you there?
I am. Good evening.
This is Jean Couch. Good evening.
Hi.
How are you tonight?
Gosh, I'm honored to be here, and I'm excited to let people know about what it is we do that can make them feel so much better.
Oh, that's wonderful. Can you tell us what it is you do, Jean?
Well, it's funny. You know, like you said, your show is called Secrets of the Soul. Really what we do is we teach you the secrets of the body. So in the past 100 years, there has been a dramatic change in the posture of everybody in the United States. And because we export pop culture, we are now exporting a collapsed posture all around the world through movies and TV. So 100 years ago, almost everybody stood so that their spine was directly over the pelvis, and the pelvis was directly over their legs, which are quite vertical. And now almost everyone without exception, stands in a zigzag. So you two don't know it, but I bet you $1,000 each, this is kind of a spiritual moment, huh? That both of you, when you stand, your pelvis is forward. And when the pelvis goes forward, then your spine has to lean back as a counterweight, and when your spine goes back, then your head goes forward, So if what's happened, unbeknownst to all of us, our spines are excessively curved. And one of the big problems is that this modern posture is so pervasive that it's very difficult for us to perceive it. So what we do is we teach all over, and we go in and we show people a slideshow of what vertical is, what standing naturally is, and then show comparisons of how people stand today. And of course, we do that with sitting and standing. So 100 years ago, almost everybody sat effortlessly straight up, and now universally, the people around us, everybody has collapsed, and by far the most at-risk population are children. Did I get you started? Hey, so then what we do is we teach you specifically what to do, so you begin to change how you sit, and it right instantly begins to realign your spine. So
I tell you, I've already changed how I'm sitting.
Pardon me?
I've already changed how I'm sitting.
Yeah, I'll bet.
I mean, awareness.
And we teach this 10-hour course most commonly. And at the end, everybody fill out an entry form and then an exit form. And the most common response we get is people say, oh, my gosh, my awareness has risen exponentially. Because people just have no idea what they're doing with their body. And it's this collapse in standing and sitting that is ruining the spine and every joint in your body. Because everything's misaligned. So, like, you and I were designed to be friction-free. But because the center of the body, the pelvis, has moved off-center, every other joint is also off-center, and now every joint in your body has friction in it, and it's wearing you out. Where do you have the most friction? Where you have the most discomfort. So really what we teach you is what it is you're doing that's causing you to have back pain. What is it you're doing that's causing your neck to kill you? And not only what it is you're doing, but how you remedy it almost instantly. And really what we're known for is to end pain.
I didn't catch that last sentence, Jean. Can you say it again?
Yeah. What we're known for is to end pain.
To end pain.
End. Stop pain.
Phenomenal.
Yeah.
So you're saying that most all chronic back pain is related to posture.
Yeah. So 80% of us have debilitating lower back pain. And once you have a bout, it tends to reoccur. Now, and then that doesn't even include the mid-back, the upper back, and the neck. So, but very few people actually have a medical problem in their spine. A medical problem would be a cyst, an infection, a tumor, and other very rare diseases. What almost everyone has is wear and tear on the spine. And what wear and tear ends up doing, it ends up herniating a disc, which then infringes upon a nerve, and then you go to the doctor. But it really isn't originally a medical problem. It really is, the cause of it is how you're moving from moment to moment.
How fascinating.
Who knew?
That's amazing. Mm-hmm. And what about scoliosis and things like that? Is that also caused by posture, or is that a genetic issue?
Okay, so there are two forms of scoliosis. So one, it would be congenital, and that is inherited, and those are severe. Now, we can help them, but no one will ever really cure them. We can make them better, but not as better as they'd like to be. But, like, I was just at a coffee shop yesterday over by Google here in Silicon Valley, and I was watching people stand in line, and every person there had scoliosis, which is a lateral curve. And my guess was all of the ones I saw while I was in there are from the way they sit. So most people sit on one hip. So if you sit with more weight on one hip, the other hip is held up, and your spine sits on your butt. So when you tip your pelvis, your butt, then the spine has to go off to the side and then compensate back and then compensate back. So then you get a zigzag from side to side and forward and back. But we can, if a person is willing to do the work, they can be so much better and so much straighter they won't believe it.
I see. So can you fix chronic back pain by just fixing your posture? Is it that simple?
Yeah.
Really?
Now, I mean, it's so rare it doesn't work. And, you know, I mean, the people that it may not work on, I may never see again. You know what I mean?
Yes.
But over and over and over again, people are just stunned at how much better they feel and how quickly it can go away once they begin to align the spine. Hey, so, you know, your spine has these, you know, the vertebral bodies are like, they're like bones that are in the shape of drums. And they should sit flush, you know, square. One should sit square on the other. And now when you collapse, of course, you're either on one edge of the disc, and, you know, between the vertebral bodies are the discs. So when you collapse, you're crushing one side of the disc or the other side of the disc, and that is how you narrow a disc. And then one day you sneeze, and your back goes out, and you lay on the floor for 3 days and wonder how in the world you're ever going to get back to work.
I see. And when you are in that state, you have chronic back pain, what would you suggest to people to help?
I mean, right now I can tell you, I mean, it's much better when we do this in person, of course. But so almost everybody, so I'm going to give you a few hints about sitting. So almost without exception, everybody in the United States now, the pelvis, almost everybody sits on the backside of the butt. And then the head and shoulders curl forward. So it's what I say, almost everybody now sits like a cashew. And, So now this is going to be a biblical reference. Do you know where Adam in the Bible, would put a fig leaf?
Yes.
Yes. So most people sit on the back of the pelvis, and the fig leaf slants back and kind of comes up. So, Pamela, bring your feet back under the chair where you're sitting right now. Lift your butt up off the chair and bend at your hip sockets and take your fig leaf back between your legs and sit down.
Okay.
So now,
so
what
you're saying take your pelvic floor and tilt it.
Yes, that's correct.
Okay.
So now when you sit back down, what are you sitting on?
You're sitting more on the middle part, on your pelvic floor, right on the bones.
That's correct. And colloquially, those bones are called sitting bones. So guess what you're supposed to do with sitting bones? Huh? Sit on them, right? Okay, so now almost everybody at this point thinks of, quote, good posture. So when people think of good posture, what do they do with their chest?
I would guess that the chest goes out a little bit and the stomach goes in.
Right. So most people think of good posture, lift your chest, shoulders back, chin up or chin down.
Right.
I don't know which, right? So go ahead and lift your chest.
Okay.
And tell me what tightens.
Your stomach.
And your?
Your back.
That's correct. So what you actually do, you sit on your sitting bones, and now because when your back is tightening, you make your back weaker and weaker, and where you're bending back, you're narrowing the disc. So the people, this is a whole other story. I'll tell you about this in a minute. So what you want to do right now is drop your chest down and then completely relax your belly and your back and see if you can begin to make a line of bones In other words, a spinal column that will keep you upright.
No, it's out of alignment immediately.
Yeah, what happened?
Well, your back, my middle back just curved.
Collapses, right.
Uh-huh. Yeah, it just curves backwards like a cashew, like you mentioned earlier.
Yeah. Uh-huh.
And my shoulders go down and, yeah.
Your shoulders go forward and your heads go forward, right?
Yes.
Yeah. Uh-huh. Hey, so sit, lift your butt up again. Move the fig leaf through your legs again and sit. Sit back down.
Okay.
And then real slowly, just relax the chest in front down. And relax it down a little bit more. Yeah, now see, because the way people sit all the time, when they sit on the back of the butt, their whole spine goes back, and what's happened, people now bend forward from the vertebra right behind the heart. So when you relax, you're actually just bending where you always bend. So then could you pick up your one shoulder, pick it up, move it back, and drop it down? And then pick up the other shoulder, move it back, and drop it down.
Okay.
And now back, draw your face, take your face so your chin goes towards your throat, and back up your neck. And so you're going to feel a stretch in the back of your neck. The back of the head goes up. And then real slowly, just begin to forget. Just all you do is just real slowly begin to relax. You know, it's really hard to get this unless we put our hands on you and give you a little bit of guidance. So all we do, it's what we call checking. But that's what makes all the difference, to give you the beginning of a feeling for it. But the danger is that gravity is constant. You can never turn off gravity. And you are either in a position that's where gravity just holds you upright and you actually feel weightless and you get stronger there. But when you're out of balance, gravity is pulling you down and it is actually damaging you moment to moment. So we have a huge message to give, you know, to help everybody to begin to come back to what we call natural, normal posture. You know, the other thing I wanted to tell you is the woman who did the original research, her name is Noelle Perez, and she's from Paris. And she was, I don't know if you know, the yoga master called B.K.S. Iyengar, who wrote Light on Yoga. He's 92, I think, right now, and probably
I have a few of his books.
Yes, he's one of the foremost yoga teachers in the world. So Noelle Perez, who did all the research for what I'm telling you, she was the first Western student in 1959 to go to Pune, India, and she spent 3 months living in his home with his family. And so all of this came out of what he began to teach her at that time. But what it ended up was that he was in balance himself. He was still vertical, straight up and down. And like when I went to India to study with BKS Iyengar, I was terribly out of balance. So he was vertical. I was in a zigzag. So as he was trying to teach me, he was teaching me from balance position, but there was this huge missing link. So this woman, Noelle Perez, she began to listen to what Mr. Iyengar said. So eventually she got the idea. She said, well, can I find people who carry heavy loads on their head or on their shoulder? And when I find those people, I want to find out. And they do this all their lives. You know, like if you go to Bali, if you go to India, you can see thousands and thousands of people who are still vertical, who carry weight on their head or on their shoulder. So she said, when I find these groups of people, what I want to do is to find out how do they sit? How do they stand? How do they bend? How do they walk? So it's like Abraham Maslow, who wanted to study healthy people in the world of psychology. And so everything we teach, we are not making up the answers. We have found the world's best postures, and they're all over the world. In other words, when you find someone in balance in Costa Rica, they stand, sit, and bend the same way a person in balance would do in China or Indonesia or Peru, etc. So there are a lot of models around us, and all of us were in perfect balance until the age of 3. After the age of 3, you begin to take on the posture of the people around you. So you learn your posture, and so posture is different from culture to culture.
I see. So posture is an innate sort of a ground state for all of us.
That's correct. That's correct. So when, I don't know, it seemed as though you may have had children around you. I don't know. But
yes, I have 5 children.
Whoa, Pamela, good for you. That's a spiritual journey, my dear.
Yeah. Spiritual or crazy.
Yeah, right. It makes you crazy some days. Hey, but when you've seen your children, they all have these absolutely straight spines, and their heads float, right?
Yeah.
Right? When they're little. And then by the time they're 8 or 9, they're already hunched over. So what happens, they're learning, actually what happens, kids go to school and a kindergartner wants to look like the first grader. The first grader wants to look like the second grader. So they just take on these postures because they want to be like all the big kids.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
They mimic each other.
Yeah. Hey, now the Buddha, I mean all the images of the Buddha. So when you think of the Buddha, he had this, or all the statues, whether they're Asian or whatever, they could either be heavy set or very fine, thin too, you know. But they all have this elegant straight spine with their head resting on the top. And it's hard for us to imagine, but their experience is that they are completely weightless. Their experience is that from the neck down, they're invisible. And it's a simply incredible rapture when you can find it physically, and it frees you in a way you can't imagine. And it's a very long journey to get to that point, but it is where we all started. It's where we started as children, where we were carefree and gravity held us up.
Hmm.
Yeah.
What is the journey back? Is there a process? Is there something that we can do for ourselves? Is there some tip that you could give our listeners as to how to begin approaching that?
Yeah, well, I mean, one thing, I don't know where they are all over the world, but they definitely, I mean, they can go on our website and they can buy our DVD, and that would begin, you know, in the DVD we show you pictures of people in and out of balance, both stationary and in movement. And then you'll see me teaching you the beginning of sitting, standing, walking in balance. And so Harvard did a study of African women probably 7 or 8 years ago. So they found a tribe of women who carried weight on their head. And they put these women on a treadmill with a breathalyzer in their mouth so they could measure how many calories they used as they walked. What the Harvard scientists found was that these women could carry 25% of their body weight. So say, just for example, I weigh 100 pounds. This means I could carry 25 pounds on my head and walk and not use one extra calorie.
Wow.
So it's incredibly efficient. You and I are designed to be incredibly efficient. But why do people go and walk on a treadmill in this country, in modern living? The reason they go to the treadmill, they want to walk on it, is to burn up calories. So really, you're designed to be so efficient that you hardly, you don't wear yourself out. It's great walking would be no more exerting than sitting and reading a book. You see what I mean?
So,
but because we're so out of balance, all our standards have changed. In other words, we so believe that we have to exercise because we have to stay strong. And
let me ask you a question there, Jean, if you don't mind me interrupting. Do you think that this the posture and the balance of the body, does it affect also other systems like metabolism of the body, how you process food? If it affects the calories that you use, does it affect the calories that you don't use?
Okay, so think about a 12-year-old sitting at a computer.
Okay.
Think about a 12-year-old playing a video game. They are all collapsed, right?
Right.
So the body weight should be going through a spinal column. So they have collapsed their column, and now the weight of the head, the shoulder, the back, is all the weight in the torso is now sitting on their vital organs, changing the shape of the vital organs and compressing the vital organs. The bones get weaker, the muscles get more and more tense, and God knows what's happening to those poor vital organs. So what you're going to see, you know, 20, 30 years ago, all types of collapse and oddities where people's, nothing's functioning the way it should because the passageways are being closed moment to moment, almost without any relief. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So, and your brain should sit at the top of a column, and it should sit in a horizontally. But when people collapse over, the brain, and then when a 12-year-old collapses forward, the shoulders fall forward. For them to look forward, they have to tip their head back. So the brain is sitting on a whole different, it sits on the back of the skull instead of the bottom of the skull. So all types of blood flow, you know, transmission of neurons, everything, it begins to be interrupted. It's just such common sense, you know. But the big thing, I mean, what people know right now is their back hurts, their shoulders hurt, their knees hurt, their hips hurt. Their feet hurt.
Everything hurts.
Everything hurts, you know. The most common orthopedic surgery being done in the United States right now is hip replacement. And it's really because you are designed to have your body on the top of your legs. And now almost everybody, the legs, your butt is hanging at the back of your legs. And everybody has a flat butt now. I'm going to do a campaign, Bring Back the Butt campaign. Does that sound spiritual or what?
I like it.
And so, when the first article I wrote for the Yoga Journal 100 years ago was Living on the Axis, and the first person that called, she was a meditation teacher from Santa Barbara, and she was probably, I don't know, maybe 75, and she called me up and she said, "Oh, my gosh." She said, "I so get this." She said, "When I teach meditation, I feel that everyone is ruminating and not meditating because everybody's so uncomfortable. They can't ever get comfortable to let the awareness expand to other things, you know." So she came to Palo Alto, and we taught her for 2 weeks.
That's really fascinating. Let me go ahead
do a little break here.
Yeah, I was going to give Mark the chance to do the break. Go ahead, Mark.
Yeah, and then also I'll have a question for you after that. But I just want to let everybody know you're listening to Spiritual Connections Radio. If you want to find out more about our shows and other shows that we air during the month, you can go to www.spiritualconnectionsradio.com. Gene, why don't you go ahead and tell people how people can find out more about you? And you said you had some DVDs that you have out and stuff like that.
Yeah. So our website is www.balancecenter, all one word, balanceandcentertogether.com. And you can find our DVDs there. and you can order them that way. And also info@balancecenter. Hey, and then one of the most wonderful mind-body experiences available in the United States is at Esalen in Big Sur, California. And that began, what was it, 50 years ago? And it was one of the first mind-body exploring the potential of the human mind and body. So they're about 50 miles south of Carmel, California. It's right on the Pacific Ocean. And they have natural spring hot tubs, which were rebuilt after an earthquake some years ago to the tune of about $4 million. And so you take these fabulous hot tubs hanging on the coast, on the cliffs of the Pacific Ocean. So I'll be at Esalen in this year, September 29th to October 4th. And if you want to take a workshop that will open your eyes and change you forever, you want to get on their website, esalen.org, and sign up for that workshop as soon as you can. And then through Stanford, I'll be at Stanford Women's Sierra Camp, May 17th, 18th, and 19th. And you could find that through stanford.com, I think, or .edu.
That's great. Thank you for telling everybody that, sharing that info. So I have to ask a question about my posture, which is really interesting because I'm kind of sitting here in a black chair in front of my desk as I listen to the radio show and everything. And I happen to notice that if you were to look at me, you would notice that if you're looking at the end of the chair where your legs would normally kind of come down onto the floor, you'll notice that my back is on the back of the chair, but my butt is towards the front of the chair, almost like I'm about to fall off the thing.
Yeah.
And that
yeah.
seems to be a very comfortable posture for me. And I was just wondering about, I guess you said that's kind of like learned, and yeah, I'm guessing that's probably not a good posture.
No.
I should probably be putting my back to the back of the chair and actually sitting up.
Well, you know, so we teach by maybe hour, so we teach this 10-hour class, and by about hour 6 or 7, I could teach you how to sit reclined. We call that reclined. But really, Mark, you're sitting in a cashew. You're like a big C shape, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. So it's really hard to start with teaching you how to recline like that. And in the beginning, you really do. You need to lift your butt up and bend, hinge at your hip. Now, your hip is not your waist. Everybody now bends at the waist. So you want to bend at the top of your leg and push your butt way to the back of the chair and then sit back down. And then if you only do that, you'll be better.
Excellent. Thank you.
Yeah. And then very soon, once we get your spine so it's not so collapsed, we begin to elongate the spine skyward. In other words, now once we align the spine, then you need to make more and more space as you go up. And as you go up and align your spine, it's what tones your abdominals. You know, so what happens is, first of all, we get rid of pain. Then you begin to regain your natural strength. And then if you stick with this, this becomes an extremely precise form of awareness where you are refining your attention inside your body, finding where you are still tense or compressed, and then begin to release that really upward. But you have to do it. You have to know how to do it. And you're actually always searching inside of you. So it's a lifetime practice if you get addicted, if you want to really reap the rapture of it, you know. But you know, what it ends up is that you're aware standing at the grocery store. You're aware sitting at your chair right now. You become aware as you bend to pick up your socks in your bedroom. And it just goes on and on and on. And first we start with your butt, and then eventually it gets to be very a refined noticing of your tensions that you're holding that are pulling you out of balance.
Thank you.
Yeah, I wish I could really show you something, Mark Rawson.
Do you know, I have a question about kids. We mentioned them earlier. And my youngest one is 10. And he has a tendency, like you said, I'll come into the room and he'll be playing Xbox or the computer, and he'll be sitting literally where his in a crouched position on the chair, but he's sitting on the hard chair with his feet on the chair, and he's stooped over his feet,
His back
is a complete arch.
Yeah.
Now, you know, we do live in a culture where this, you know, even not kids, even adults sit at the computer, their back arches.
Mm-hmm.
How do you do what you need to do in this culture and survive or help your children overcome that posture because they're on the game all the time?
Well, I mean, so when we work with kids, we go in with slideshows. And right away, I mean, when we begin to show people in balance and out of balance, so what we begin like with a 10-year-old, we go, who looks strong? Who looks weak? So they know intuitively, they know instantly that someone that where their bones are aligned and they're relaxed, that they look strong, and that the curved people look weak. And then we'll say, do you want to be tall or do you want to be short? So when they curve over, they know they're shorter. When you teach them how to sit so they're relaxed and upright, then they're taller. And it helps if you can teach a group of them, because it's hard for one kid to be the only kid in his class that sits on his butt bones when everybody else sits like a ball, you know.
Mm-hmm.
But the problem is that there are going to be such health consequences. I mean, I was at a pizza parlor like a couple months ago, and I was waiting on a bench outside, and there was a boy next to me. It was his 12th birthday. He was there for his birthday party. And he was lying down, and he had his head in his mom's lap. And I knew instantly he had severe back pain. So I talked him into coming to Palo Alto. And within an hour, I could get him to feel so much better. And then actually I saw him 2 hours after that, and then I've never seen him again. But the mother said to me, we went to the doctor, we took x-rays, there's nothing wrong, but he has these bouts where he goes into severe spasm and pain. So it really is, it's postural. But the problem is, it's not very cool to think about posture in this culture right now.
That's probably is very, very true.
Yeah, I mean, 100 years ago, people valued being upright. Now what people value is either being thin or some idea of being cool, relaxed, you know. But really what they've done is they've collapsed.
When I was a girl, you know, my mother would say constantly, sit up straight, sit up straight, sit up straight, sit up straight, sit up straight.
Yeah.
And you don't hear that anymore.
Yeah.
I don't think people are even aware that it's an issue anymore.
Yeah, I taught a fifth grader, and at the second day, I taught a fifth grade class. And on the second day, this girl came up to me, and she said, when I was in kindergarten, I was in Russia. And in Russia, the teachers kept saying, sit up, sit tall. And she said, when I came to the United States for first grade, it was never mentioned ever again. You know, Pamela, the directions you've been taught to stand up straight actually make you more curved. So this isn't your mother's posture. So most people have been taught to tuck their tail, hold their stomach, lift their chest, shoulders back, chin up. And then what it does, it makes you tense, tight, and curved. So what I used to do, I'd be completely collapsed forward. Then I would bend back to try to stand up, and neither position was comfortable. So I was like, oh, man, I hate posture. This is never going to work, you know. I mean, most people hate posture, and rightly so, don't you think?
I think most people think that good posture is to be stiff.
Yeah, uh-huh, right.
And I see that.
Yeah, uh-huh.
And that's really not what it is at all.
Yeah, so that's the magic, is how do you find the weight, how do you figure out how to position yourself so the weight's in your bone and the muscles all relax? And you know that what, you know, we have the idea in our culture that you should have a hard body. So the definition of health in a muscle is not hardness. What defines health in a muscle is elasticity, that your muscle has to be able to change its shape. Like if you lift your arm, your muscle changes its shape. When you put your arm down, then the muscle should come back to just its natural length, like a piece of elastic. So muscles really shouldn't be hard. There's a tone to them, but they shouldn't be stiff. And almost all of us, what we build in the gyms is hardness and a type of tension in the muscle. So, you know, it's just hard to be yourself.
So you mentioned to me, Jean, that there was a woman from Paris who initially went to this guru in India. What was his name?
Iyengar. Iyengar. He's world famous. In, I don't know, 1989 or something, he was one of the 100 most known men in the world in Time magazine.
I know he's written lots and lots of books.
Yeah.
But tell me how balance, for lack of a better word, how this balance system got started.
Well, Noel figured it out, really. I mean, so 100 years ago, almost everybody on the earth was in balance, so it's always been there. And then during the 20s, I mean, there were 1920, there was a huge shift in posture. I mean, think about the flappers. So when you think of the flappers, the pelvis goes forward and they lean back, right? So in 1920, there was a change in the posture that was cool in the United States. And then there were a lot of other influences, like much more sitting because of industrialization. And kind of by the 60s, this whole idea that came through the movies, like with James Dean, that it was that this collapsed posture was cool. So really, I mean, if you look at any magazine now, everybody is out of balance. They stand on zigzags and they sit collapsed. So that's what's cool. So in the 20s, almost everybody went out of balance. And in 1959, Noel Perez, a student of BKS Iyengar, he kept saying, "Your students are not on the axis." And she was like, "Axis? What does that mean?" You know? So he would give her some hints. And then finally she said, "Well, maybe I can find people that carry weight on their head. And if they do it all their life, they must be on the axis, because otherwise they couldn't carry heavy weight on their head." So it's, you know, what's our normal state? Our normal state is to be upright, is to be vertical. So what's happened is this collapse has come from modern media, models who were just totally wrecks, and now it just lives in us because that's what's cool and it's everywhere. And you know, from a spiritual point of view, other than when you hit balance, it's just so glorious and you're so awake. But even in the journey, what's happening to our children is that isn't who they really are, those collapsed kids. They really are designed to be upright and out playing and moving and awake, but their bodies now are collapsing and making so everything is a struggle. And it's hard to be yourself like that, you know?
I agree. You know, one of the things that I teach is the body always follows the mind, and the mind follows the body.
Right.
So if your body is doing badly, you certainly cannot focus on spirituality or the beauty of life when you're coping.
Yeah. Hey, well, now there are many very spiritual people, but that are out of balance physically. But what this component would add would be a whole new way of awareness that you don't leave on the mat. But I understand that there are many spiritual practices. You begin to be aware from moment to moment. But what this system does, it gives you a way to feel your body. Like you would begin to notice if you have weight in your butt. When you stand, you would begin to notice if you have weight in your heels. So you have a feedback system in your body to tell you if you're aware or not. And,
uh-huh.
Yeah, uh-huh. It's
how interesting. When
yeah.
you go through this balance system, how long does it normally take, and what can the person expect?
Well, I mean, truly. I mean, right now we are teaching these short courses for the staff at Stanford University. So I go in there and I teach 4 one-hour classes, and we keep records of how much pain people have at the beginning and how much pain they have at the end. And it is astounding how much better they feel when they learn a little bit about sitting, a little bit about standing, how to bend at their hips, not their waist, a little bit about walking, and how to lie down so that your back is long instead of curved when you're in bed at night. So it doesn't take very – usually it's pretty easy to get people out of pain. Then if a person gets more interested – then we really teach them how to come back to their normal shape, which would be, I mean, anybody at any weight can look so much better in like 3 months if they begin to do it. It's almost instantaneous. But the journey of awareness is lifelong. And like for me, I've been doing this 24 years now, and I just in the last month, all of a sudden, I have so much more movement in my back. I mean, I had no idea I could continue to change like this, you know.
How fascinating.
Yeah, it's pretty amazing. It's a gift. People need to find us.
Wonderful. What are the best parts of this system?
Which are what?
What are the best parts of balance?
That the guidelines are very specific. So, like, even the guidelines you've been given for sitting up or standing, you know, tuck your tail, lift your chest, throw your shoulders back, or, you know, stand against a wall, make yourself straight like that. But what we teach you to do is very specific, how to feel where your body weight is and how to begin to feel the relaxation as it comes. So for standing, I would teach somebody to stand. And so when you stand up, once you begin to notice, and we would go in and out of balance for a while so you can feel the difference. But when you stand, you have most of your body weight toward the front of your feet. So you have pressure in the front of your feet. So when you look down, you can't see your ankles. So I would tell you, hey, look at your ankles, and that would move your butt back and put your weight in your heels. Then when you do that, I go, are your knees locked? And you go, oh, yeah, my knees are locked. So I say, okay, unlock your knees. So I give you a set of guidelines. Look at your ankles, put the weight in your heels. Notice if your knees are locked or unlocked. Don't bend them, just unlock them. And then don't lift your chest, drop your chest, and begin to relax. And that's the beginning of practice. So it's very specific, and you can do it here, there, and everywhere. You don't have to guess. And your body is telling you all the time. You begin to pay attention to the sensations of whether you feel where you feel discomfort and what to do to make it so it dissolves.
And what's the hardest part about the system?
The hardest part? Paying attention.
Mm-hmm.
paying attention. I'll bet you meditate, right?
I do.
So the mind, right? The mind. So say I'm standing at the kitchen. So it's not true anymore, but when I started. So when you stand to chop vegetables, when your pelvis is pushed against the counter, you're standing in a zigzag. So in the beginning, you know, you go, okay, I'm going to put my weight in my heels. My pelvis is not on the counter, and you chop vegetables. Well, in about a half a minute later, your pelvis is on the counter, and you're like, Gene, wake up, wake up, because you forget and remember, forget and remember. So, you know, like when I ask people at Stanford, I go, what's the hard part? And they go, oh, man, being aware. But then I say, but that's the whole enchilada. You don't want to be on your deathbed. You don't want to be on your deathbed and go, oh, man, I was asleep the whole time, right? That I missed the moment. I missed the moment. Hello, hello.
And you know, I know you were teaching yoga for many years. You said prior to this system, prior to studying and working with this system, balance system, there's correlations. Can you give us in just a brief synopsis of the similarities and the differences between standard yoga and this system?
Yeah, well, so both of them are based on postures, and both of them are based on attention. So our postures are the postures of everyday life. So it's, you know, like if you do a yoga practice, you do your 45 minutes, your hour, you fold up your mat, and off you go. You're out of balance. So I don't take time out of my life to practice balance. I take time out of my life to learn and to be with teachers. But my practice, I'm practicing right now. So it's constant. And unfortunately, in modern yoga, it's being taught as an exercise form instead of a system of internal awareness. In many cases, and I understand there are millions of yoga teachers, so there's a huge variety. But if it's just really hard to really notice the subtlety and the nuances of what's going on inside of you when you're forcing or pushing or going fast through poses and poses. But it really, what we really are doing is a very profound form of yoga, where we really want to know ourselves and how we can really find the fragrance of who we are.
Well, that's a lovely thing to say. Can you give our audience? I know we're running out of time, aren't we, Mark?
I had to unmute because I got some background noise on my side here.
Can you give us
a couple minutes left. Go ahead.
I was just going to say, Gene, can you give us, I have a lot of birds out here. I don't know if you can hear them.
Is it morning? Where are you, Pamela?
No, I'm in Florida, but I live on a lake, and I'm out here next to the pool under the screen enclosure. It's so pretty outside tonight. Anyway, what I was going to say was, can you give our audience something that they can use, other than obviously going to your website, and I know Mark will give you the opportunity to say that again, so everybody get your pens and pencils ready. But other than that, audience members tonight, can you give them a tip on something that they can do?
One tip. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
You always want to sit on the bottom of your butt and not the back of your butt. So if you only begin to do that in your car, you're driving, and you notice that you are sitting on the back of your butt and you're bent at your waist, even in your car, you have to lift your butt up and bend at your hips and move the fig leaf area back and down. So you sit on the bottom of your butt. Always sit on the bottom of your butt. Second, you always want to bend at your hip sockets, not at your waist. When the back usually goes out is when somebody bends forward, like to make the bed or even sneezing or to feed the cat. And the problem is that your butt is dropped and you're bending at the waist. So what you got to do is you got to find where your hip is, and it's the hip socket is between your leg and your torso, and that area moves back, and your whole spine, your whole torso goes forward like it's a piece of wood. So you don't bend at your back, you bend at your hip, and then you bend your knees and go on down to pick up a sock. So if you can bend at your hips, sit on your butt bones, and when you stand, stand so you can see the front of your ankles, you'll be better. It's
okay,
a beginning.
Well,
it's a beginning.
That's a wonderful beginning.
Hey, people can save themselves. They don't have to be infirm at 30. That's
mm-hmm.
what I see. People are now infirm at very young ages. It's this that's making people prematurely old, and it doesn't have to happen. I'm trying to save the world. I'm beginning with you, Pamela and Mark.
Excellent. So thank you for being on the show. And before we close off, if you could just give out your website again.
Balance, or www.balancecenter.com.
And just remind us again, you're going to be both out at Esalen, and you said you're out at, is it Stanford?
Yes. I'll be at Esalen September 29th through October 4th, esalen.org, and that's in Big Sur, California. And then through Stanford, I'll be at Stanford Women's Sierra Camp May 17th, 18th, and 19th.
Oh, that's excellent. So,
and they can always come to Palo Alto and work with us day in and day out.
That's great. So that's where you're located out of for people who want to fly in and see you.
Right.
So thank you for being on the show. I just
pleasure.
Want to let everybody know you've been listening to Spiritual Connections Radio. You can find us on the internet at www.spiritualconnectionsradio.com. Good night, Jean, and good night, Pam, and thanks for another great radio show.
Thanks, Mark. Bye, Pam.
Good night. Good night, everybody. Thanks again. Bye.